Sportsnet 960, the fan special presentation in advance of the 2016 NHL draft. It is time once again for the mock draft. Who is going where and when? Picks 1 through 30. Can't wait. It is Boomer once again at the controls, looking forward to Friday night and looking forward to this. Two of the best in the biz when it comes to this sort of thing, junior hockey experts, our pals Peter Labardius and Sam Cosentino. Boys, good to talk to you again. Lou, always great to hear your voice. You're doing well?
I am doing much better. They're not singing Mellow Yellow anymore when I walk into a room. Boom, it wasn't a lot of fun for a couple of months, but feeling much, much better.
And for you, Mr. Cosentino, what's ailing you? Are you anything life-threatening? You doing all right?
No, the only thing ailing me is the lack of golf games so far this summer. But hopefully once we roll around to Sunday, that should start to pick up, and I would fully expect it to. But it's nice to see my pal back on his feet, upright, ready to go, put his boxing gloves on, and let's get in a battle here for the mock.
There you go. And
I'm good with that.
I like it too. We'll start off, we'll go 1 through 10. The boys will take their turns with their selections. Obviously, it may change. One guy going from one list to the other. You may have to shift on the fly, but that's how a draft works. And we'll walk through picks 1 through 30. And I think, Lou, I think you've gotten the short end of the stick. You've had to make the Calgary Flames selection each of the last 2 years. So we'll try and give you a break. We'll make we'll give Sam Cosentino the luxury of making that call. So that means you get the Toronto Maple Leafs and pick number 1.
Well, everybody on the planet is going in the Austin Matthews direction, and while I might have it a little closer between the two guys at 1 and 2 than others do, after the World Championship, Boom, there's no way not to go with the kid out of Scottsdale, and that's Austin Matthews, centerman, 6'2", 215 pounds, sees the ice, excellent skater, incredible release, had a quality second world junior at Christmas time in Finland where he put up 11 points. But what put me over personally on Austin Matthews was the performance he had in May in Russia at the World Hockey Championships. He scored 6 goals for the United States, played like a man, looked like a man, was an elite player in that event. And when you do that, even though he's a late birthday, you know, this was his 18-year-old hockey season at center ice for a team that, you know, needs that type of player in the position the Leafs are. I just think the fact that he's a center iceman puts him ahead of Line A, and Matthews is number 1 for me.
Yeah, there's no doubt. What he's able to bring to the table, going back to his days in the under 18 and shattering their record of Patrick Kane, and his ability now to kind of revolutionize things by going over and playing a year pro in Switzerland with and against men, playing for a National Hockey League coach. I think all of those things just spell to me that he is even maybe more ready now to play in the NHL than maybe had he taken a different route. Who knows?
What are your thoughts there? I don't know. I can't even remember now if it was that controversial. I think he was at a level where he was so skilled, you just, whatever he chose to do, he was going to succeed at it. Did he make the right call? Could his stock have been injured had it gone a different way?
Well, I think I don't think so. I mean, the fact of the matter is he was supposed to play for Everett. Everett is in a defensive-minded system. Could that have helped that part of his game? Yes. Is he deficient in that area? Absolutely not. But playing for Kevin Constantine, I don't think you can help but learn a little bit about the defensive side of the game. Now, when you look at the schedule, the travel, all those things I think are a lot more pro-like, at least NHL-like, than what they would be in Switzerland. He played 36 games in Switzerland. A full WHL schedule is twice that. But when you have days off and you have practice ice and you have the ability to work out, you know, off ice, it's kind of like a college schedule that gives you the time to be able to do those things. But I just have to wonder that if the NHL schedule and the travel being a lot more similar to what it would be like in the WHL, that had he played in the WHL, would he have been any better suited? I don't know. That's hard to say for me, but pretty tough to argue with a guy who played with men, played against men, and still performed at over a point per game level.
Yeah, and really, Boom, as squarely as my CHL hat is on, and Sammy's obviously in the same vein, and I would suggest if you ask me that about a couple of other players that are going to go in the first round, I may have a different answer for you in terms of some of the decisions that they made. But in this case with Austin Matthews, there's such a small percentile of people who are this good that I'm not sure it would have mattered what league he played in. You know, this guy has a chance to be, you know, a premier all-star type player in the NHL. So,
yeah, I mean, he was going first, I think, regardless of where he played. He could have been a third line center in Timbuktu, and yeah, he probably still would have gone first. Now, the question that you ever seen that team play? Yeah, they're great.
Okay. I thought tough
schedule, though.
Yeah. I might be the only guy in the world that probably has seen the Timbuktu.
Yeah, Pee-wees.
getting
back to Matthews, he was going in that spot anyways. And your question, it begs some discussion for sure. Would he have been more ready had he played in the Western Hockey League? That's a pretty tough question to answer. And I think he won't be hurt at all. He's just going to have to adjust to playing on a smaller surface because he spent that entire season playing on the large ice surface. And that might be the only thing. But he's so smart, it won't take him long to figure it out.
The Winnipeg Jets.
He'll remedy that at the World Cup.
Yeah. The Jets get, they come out smelling like a rose at the draft lottery. They jump up to pick number 2. And for that one, we go to Mr. Sam Cosentino.
Patrick Laine, no surprise here. The Winnipeg Jets have had the decision made for him by the Toronto Maple Leafs. They get a right shot, right winger who's just deadly playing the offside and the one-timer. He's excellent on the power play. He's got good size to him. He's got that cock to the walk, bordering on arrogance, something that I think you need to succeed at that level. And look at what he did this year, playing at the World Juniors, winning a gold medal there, winning the Jari Kurri Trophy as the Finnish playoff MVP, then going to the World Championships, winning the MVP there, playing against men. I mean, that's unheard of. Just one of 6 Finns to have played in both the World Juniors and the World Championships in the same year. And I'd have to say he's probably the most successful in doing so when you look at the team success and the individual success combined.
Boom, in all sincerity, and there will be some arguments, maybe the greatest 17-year-old hockey season we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because even though this young man has turned 18, that was his 17-year-old season. And not only did he make a difference, he made an enormous difference with men at the World Championships.
Yeah.
He was an absolute terror at the World Junior, and basically even with our own country said, really?
Yeah,
we're going to play you. We're going to beat you, and I'm going to score 2 to help stick it right to you. This guy wants to make a difference, was lucky enough a couple years ago to watch him as part of a Max Midget champion Finnish team when he, Jalevi, and Puljujarvi were on that team as underages, and needless to say, they won that tournament too.
Yeah.
This guy is an unbelievable finisher, wants to make a difference, has pro size, might have one of the best releases in the game, not far away from anyone now.
Yeah.
Now!
I think the comparisons to Ovechkin, especially when it comes to the shot and the goal-scoring ability, are definitely valid.
Oof. Little Brett Hall-like for me, too. Seems to find those quiet areas and just...
And has the kind of character that Hall possessed throughout his National Hockey League career, and it seemed to serve him pretty well.
And it's interesting to look because I think, like you say, the consensus, here are 2 picks in our mock draft, and I haven't really seen any that would disagree. Matthews at 1, Laine at 2. As good as Matthews is, I wouldn't want to be... There'll be a little bit of Brendan Shanahan walking off that podium thinking, well, we didn't take that guy. You know, you just wonder, down the road, you'll be looking at some... We said no to Laine. That's going to be hard for... that would be hard for a lot of teams to do.
It's funny because if you had to prognosticate, I'd say the point totals are probably likely going to be same for these 2 guys. It's just going to be Laine will have more goals and have more goals in the power play. So do you covet that a little bit more or not? I mean, I really think the point production is going to be very similar between these 2 players.
They're both terrific talents.
Yeah. To Columbus we go for pick number 3. Labardius, back to you.
Well, I'm going right back to that Finnish descent in Jesse Puljujärvi again. Loved him at the max. Strong, 6'3", 210 pounds, skate, was the MVP at the World Junior Championship, 17 points. 28 points for Karpat in the Swedish, or make that Finnish top league, the SM Liga. Now, he didn't get a chance like his fellow teammate from the World Junior to play at the World Men's Championship. He did go to the World Under 18, flew in on about 3 seconds rest to Grand Forks, took about one day to get acclimated with everything there, helped his country win another gold medal, the Under 18, beating a fabulous U.S. team in the semifinal. And then all he did in the final against Sweden was have a hat trick. So I love this guy. I love his motor. I love his skating ability. Again, he wants to make a difference. I even, you know, sung his praises after watching him as a 16-year-old, because he made the Finnish team of the World Junior, the year before, and I couldn't take my eyes off him.
Yeah, that's where he caught my eye, too. Playing as a 16-year-old and playing top-line minutes for Finland at the World Juniors at 16 was pretty impressive. So there's nothing not to like about this guy's game. And of course, you're talking about right wing. That's a coveted position. Right shot, that's coveted as well. Size, plays both ends of the ice, works hard. I guess some minor concerns about the surgery he had right before the NHL combine that kind of sprung up on everybody. I don't think that was widely known. But other than that, there's nothing not to like about his game. He's going to be an excellent pick for somebody. I mean, I didn't have him at three, but he'll be an excellent pick for somebody there.
And so how come you didn't have him at three?
Yeah.
No, that's a great question. I mean, I look at Pierre-Luc Dubois as being in the next tier from the top two guys as being the most well-rounded player in terms of his size, his skating ability, his ability to play a heavy game if required, can drop the gloves, although it's not a big part of the game, but it's nice to know that he has that acumen to stick up for his teammates. Grew up in a hockey family where his dad played pro in Germany and has been around the game. His dad still coaches as an assistant in Rimouski right now. And then I look at the fact that he was able to transition from playing left wing to center throughout the course of the year. And that center position might be even more coveted than the right wing position, I guess, depending on what team you're looking at. But I say overall, that's probably the case. Generally, that's the case. And to think he was so pensive in saying, yeah, I moved to center and I wanted to play center the way I wanted my centerman to play when I played wing. And I thought that was so brilliant. That was so thoughtful of him to say that. And he's a smart enough guy with his hockey IQ to be able to figure that out. And so if he can adjust to playing that position moving forward to when his pro career starts, I think he just have a slight leg up there. And that's why I would have taken him third. You've taken Puljujarvi. I take Dubois at four.
From one Canadian team to another, will they keep it? Will they trade it? Let's assume they keep it. Vancouver, Peter Laborde's at pick number five.
Well, now that Mr. Dubois is off the draft map, I just, especially after what I saw in London from him, I've been a big fan, actually, since I watched him on television of the World Hockey Challenge for, 17-year-olds, and that's Matthew Tkachuk. And on a bad ankle at the Memorial Cup, and boom, I view in-person, chances to see people play at a high level greatly. You know, two goals in the final, had five in the tournament. Now, granted, he was on one of the greatest lines I've ever seen in that event with Marner and Christian Dvorak, who's going to be a pro next year, in my opinion. But Matthew Tkachuk, and I'm going to leave my quote on him to Kelly McCrimmon, longtime owner, coach, GM of the Brandon Wheat Kings. When I asked him about watching Matthew Tkachuk when he was an assistant coach for Canada at the World Junior, he described Tkachuk to me as one of the best players below the hash marks he's ever seen at the junior level. And for me right there, that was more than good enough. And Sam, you watched a lot of this guy, all year long in London. He's nasty. He's no fun to play against. He scores. He goes to all the tough areas. His dad, obviously, is Keith Tkachuk, who had a fabulous NHL career, one of the best Americans, really, probably, to ever play. This guy has a lot of intangibles, and I think for Vancouver at five, there's just, now it's time.
Yeah, you can't turn him down. And I did. I watched him play a ton of games this year, and the thing is, when you talk about below the hash marks, it's not just in front of the net and his ability to score, but he sets up shot behind the net where he can read the play well. He can work it high, low. He can find areas that few others can find in distributing the puck. He's got an excellent shot, a wicked release. So he becomes that dual threat down low where he can work in front of or behind the net and the ability to pass or shoot the puck with being as dangerous equally on both sides. So he's an amazing offensive player. You know, some teams, if you were going to pick apart or try and find a hole in his game, it would be the skating. But as we know, with all the skating coaches out there right now, that's something that will be taken care of in short order because of his drive and his want to play in the National Hockey League.
It happens a lot when a player like this plays with very skilled players. He will have the Mitch Marner. Is he better because of him, or, you know, was he shielded because of Mitch Marner? Thoughts?
I don't think he was shielded. I really don't. I think he's a different player. I think he obviously was a great complimentary piece. And the guy on that line that didn't get enough credit for me all year was Dvorak, especially when I saw him in Red Deer for four games. This guy's a pro. So, yes, did he play with great people? No question. That's one of the best junior lines I've ever seen in my entire livelihood. But I like everything he does. And he wants to make a difference, too. And he drives opponents nuts.
Oh, yeah. And he chirps at them. Ugh. And he's hacking and whacking and all those things. But, you know, to get back to your point, Peter, or Boomer, about, you know, was he shielded with Marner? Those guys practice together at times on the ice. They had their own end of the rink to work things. And I think when you're playing with that highly skilled player group, you can't help but get better. And so I think it was a huge benefit to play with him, not just necessarily in the games because you're playing on a great line and you knew where to go and what to do and that sort of thing, but it was the practice time with those guys where they're doing stuff that you don't have the ability to try in a game that I think really helped make him better.
Pretty good player. If he's anything like his old man, then he will be no fun. You have him, Lou, going to Vancouver at pick number 5, which leaves the hometown Calgary Flames. Will it be a defenseman? Will it be a forward? Sam Cosentino, where are we going?
Well, I think Alex Nylander is the guy. And I just look at the Flames organization, and I think they're in need of forward skill. And while he's not the biggest guy, he is slight of frame. He tested extremely well. He's stronger than the appearance would seem. And he's got unbelievable skill. He can edge. He's got outside speed. He shoots the puck a ton. Good release. He can do it in tight. He can do it off the rush. Has no problem going to the front of the net. You know, is he a little shy in the corner sometimes? Yeah, sure. I guess the one thing, you know, at the combine in our personal interview with Sportsnet with him, he didn't wow me there. You know, and you're hearing some things about what he wants to do with his career next year, whether he ends up back in Mississauga, whether he ends up going back to Sweden or playing. So you worry about those things a little bit. But I think when it comes to the pure skill at this spot, this is the most skilled guy that's available. And I think that's why the Flames have to take him here. You know, you're talking about a guy who can do a lot of really good things out on the ice. And again, you come from those NHL bloodlines. That never seems to hurt anybody before. They should have good intel on him from his father, of course, Michael. And I think the situation for this guy to step in and play either wing works out well for the Calgary Flames.
Well, when I assess the Flames, and Boom, you do it on the radio every single day of the year, there's no doubt to me, outside of a goaltender, what the Flames need more of is they need more help in terms of top six potential forwards. So the first thing that comes to mind when I've watched Nylander is the double M factor, magic mitts. This guy has sensational hands, in tight, makes plays, scored some beautiful goals that I saw this year. You know, he had, even though his Mississauga Steelhead team went to the second round, he had 12 points in 6 playoff games and about, you know, Sammy, 3 of the unbelievable highlight variety, I might add. In that stretch, he was really solid in a silver medal winning performance at the under 18. He was excellent. He had 9 points for his country at 17. Don't forget about that at the World Junior Hockey Championships. So I don't think he's quite as dynamic as his brother, but a different dynamic. I love his hands and his release.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Can he get the puck to the net in a hurry?
He's kind of one of those players.
I think just based on skill.
Yeah, he's one of those players, guys, that I wonder, you look and say, oh, what defensive play. Well, you can teach that. You can't teach what it is that he's got, which is, elite, like you say, elite hands and an NHL shot already.
The only thing that would make you think that Calgary's going to do anything different is you hear Brian Burke come on and talk about size. You hear Tree Living come on and talk about size. And my thoughts are, unless you're getting that guy who has great size, who has that kind of skill, size doesn't matter as much if you don't have the puck. It's skill that gets you the puck.
And you have people to surround him that are going to get him the puck.
Yeah, that's...
And it's pretty exciting, Boom, when you think about, you know, a potential right-handed finisher in Calgary, which, you know, number one on my wish list at forward is, can you find somebody to play if that's the way it goes in the end with Monahan and Gaudreau? Well, my goodness, you know, we saw a whole year of it, my friend, where Hudler didn't work, then he kind of worked. I mean, how much better would the Flames season have been this year if that particular position, and I'm not saying that Nylander or anybody else is going to come in and be that guy, you know, starting on the 12th of October in Edmonton when the Flames open their season, but I sure like the potential, you know, of that type of fit, because a number one line right winger would have to be up there a ways. Although, you know, because we're the Flames station and that's where we are right now, you know, Boom, even before we started today, I think the Flames could go in a lot of different directions there. If they really loved a defenseman at this point, I could see them going Sergachev or Ulevi. I could also see them going for 6'6" centerman out of Windsor, Logan Brown.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope the Flames, you know, in this position, and then let's, you know, I mean, this is another show, but do the Flames, are they still at 6 on Friday night?
Yeah. I think you can say the same thing about Columbus at 3, the same thing about Edmonton at 4, and Calgary at 6. I think all those three, actually, if you want to add Vancouver, I think all those picks are in play. I'm sure there's conversations going on as we speak.
So Sam Cosentino has the Flames taking Alex Nylander at pick number 6. To 7 we go, Peter Labardius with the Arizona Coyotes.
Well, the Coyotes have so many great forward prospects. We've talked about Christian Dvorak already, Dylan Strome, you know, the Fisher kid out of Windsor, I think, has a chance to be a terrific player. So they're really loaded. So I don't see how at 7, how the Arizona Coyotes don't go on defense. I'm going to go with a riskier pick, even though if I was a true betting man, I'd probably go Ulevi here because I think he's the safest guy. But if Oliver Ekman-Larsson is going to be the number one defender in Arizona for a long time, I'm going to suggest that they're going to go with Sergachev. Mikhail Sergachev, 6'2", 220 pounds. I think, and the people I've talked to who have watched him play a lot in hockey, whether it be a couple NHL scouts I talked to this week or a couple of coaches in the Ontario Hockey League, they think this guy's upside is ridiculous, and they think it's the best of the bunch. He's nasty. Sam, we've both watched the Ontario Hockey League for a long time. I mean, this is a guy who was the league's top defenseman at 17. That doesn't happen a lot either.
That's extremely difficult, and I'm with you. I think he has the biggest upside of any defenseman in this draft. Some teams will be scared off by the fact that he's Russian, and they're worried that he's going to go home. You know, I counter that by saying he came over last summer, stayed in Windsor, trained, learned the English language in 2 months, which is in and of itself is absolutely brilliant. But here's a kid who didn't really know anything about hockey until 9 or 10 years old, didn't know who Alexander Ovechkin was until he was about 10 years old, and then realized, yeah, okay, I'll get out there and skate. And he skates and plays the game like he's in a rocking chair. Sometimes he's a little too passive. I think the National Hockey League will bring that out of him. But when it comes to the upside, his ceiling is limitless. And that's why I would make that pick in that spot as well. And I see Sergachev being the first defenseman going, simply because he's not quite as vanilla as Ulevi, but his upside is through the roof.
And he's nasty too. He can shoot it.
Yes, he can. Oh yeah, he's an ankle breaker. No doubt.
So, is this a defense first guy? Is this more of an all around defenseman?
I'd say he's an all around guy. Yeah, I would say that. I mean, I still think he has some work to do in the defensive zone. He hasn't played a ton of hockey though, and it's about being able to use his body positioning, use his reach, use his stick, and use that skating ability either to get out of harm's way, spin off a check and move a puck, or get it off the glass and out. But he, you know, once he gets to top speed, he can really, really move. He is such a smooth skater. He gets to top speed before most of the opposition even knows that he's there. So I think he's a guy who's going to give you that two-way ability from the back end.
Mikhail Sergachev, the first defenseman off the board at pick 7 to the Arizona Coyotes. The host, Buffalo Sabres, looking to make a splash for their home fans. Sammy, Sabres at number 8.
Olli Juolevi, the defenseman out of the London Knights. A little bit more vanilla, very Olli Mäta-like in his approach to the game, and that he's calm, cool, quiet, collected. He's got a little more character, I would say, than Olli Mäta at that point. But a guy who's got a little more, I guess, a little more bite, a little more juice, a little more personality, if you will, than what Olli Mäta brought to the table. He's got really good hands. He doesn't show them off as much. He defends extremely well. He, too, can skate pucks out. And I think once he adds some strength to his upper body, I think his lower body will allow him to play a lot of minutes. No issues with his skating whatsoever. I take Juolevi in the spot.
I love this player and love him even more after watching him 4 times at the Memorial Cup in Red Deer. I think one of the great qualities of a defenseman is your ability to make the game look easy. I talked to some people in Red Deer that I don't know if he got enough credit for. He's an unbelievable first passer. People forget that he's already 6'2". He's got lots of room on that frame. He was brilliant at the World Junior, where he had 9 assists and was on the first All-Star team. He was an All-Star at the Memorial Cup. And while he might not wow you sometimes because he's not the most physical guy, watch his work on the power play and his ability in that event to make tough plays for me, whether it be easy exits or like what he made look like easy exits out of the zone. Your ability in this day and age to move pucks is just, it's so important. And I think he's just a whale of a puck mover.
Olli Juolevi, make it look easy. Isn't that what you want out of all your defense? It is funny you mention he's about 180 pounds, it says here, but 6'2", bordering on 6'3". He's going to fit in anywhere.
He is going to fit in everywhere. And Sam, you saw him a ton in London. I saw him, you know, in Red Deer. I watched every second at the World Junior. Saw him, you know, as a 15-year-old on that Finnish team at the Max. It was the same thing then. It was, well, every time I notice him, he's just doing something right.
Yeah. And doing it easy. He's probably a bit safer pick than Sergachev, but I don't think he has the same ceiling as Sergachev.
Back to Canadian soil for Peter Labardius. You get to select for Montreal at pick 9.
Well, in Montreal, I think this is a really, really difficult pick, outside of the fact that I think that there's some really good candidates here. And again, I'm going to take the less safe choice. I'm going to go with Tyson Jost right here. Ooh. Out of Penticton, the top scorer at the World Under 18 Championship. He was the top junior A player in the country. Tough to turn down Logan Brown, and my guess is come Friday, the Montreal Canadiens won't turn him down at this point. But his leadership ability, the fact that on a very CHL-oriented team at the Under 18, he was the captain in Grand Forks for Canada. I love his hockey IQ. I like his drive. And I won't be surprised if this is the type of player. And who knows, he's a little undersized at exactly 6 feet tall. Montreal's probably going to take Brown at 9, but I'm going to go a little off the board because we're going to have some fun, and I'm going to go Jost at 9.
Best interview at the NHL Combine by a country mile. You talk to him, and he just screams pro. You talk to people at the under-18s, and he screams pro. And for a guy to go in there to be named captain of that team, that's pretty heady stuff when it's mostly filled with CHL players. But I think it tells you a lot about he was just that much better in that leadership role than everybody else. So every single person you talk to has raved about this person. And then you say, well, is he a good player? Well, I don't know. That beating Connor McDavid's record at the under-18s, that tells me a little something. Being the top guy in the BCHL, that tells me a little something. And I think when you add the skill and the will together, you're going to get a guy who at the very least is going to be a second line center for years and years to come.
You're bang on. The one thing that I've heard and people I've talked to, they love the person. They love this kid. He's a good player, but boy, they just love everything about him. And I wonder how much stock teams will put into that. Lou, you obviously did in moving him up to nine.
Yeah, that's a big reason why I did, Boom. Just all the attributes, where he's come from, his work ethic, what I hear hockey people talk about. Am I a little worried in terms of some other people's upside here? You know, there are certain factions in the game that call him, you know, Jonathan Taves Light. Well, if this guy has that kind of pedigree and ability and wants to win and that kind of character, well, guess what? If he does go nine and he, you know, who knows? He might go 13 or 14 when it's all said and done on Friday night in Buffalo. But if you knew you were getting that kind of character and that kind of drive and that kind of leadership ability, we might be looking back if he is taking a nine going, that's way too low.
Oh, yeah. And I think a lot of people feel very strongly about his ability to do that at the next level. You know, driven by being raised by his mother, he's got a sister that he has a great amount of respect for. There's a lot to like about this guy. He's a pro in every sense of the word.
We round out the top 10 with the Colorado Avalanche. Always, since Waugh and Sakic have taken over, a bit of a wild card. You don't know between trades or draft exactly where they're going. Sammy, where are they going at 10?
Well, this is going to be fascinating to me because Julian Gauthier is, I'm sure, a guy that they really like a lot. But I think it's a little too aggressive to take him here. So I'm going to go with Logan Brown. You look at size down the middle of the ice, NHL pedigree, the fact that when he grew up, his dad didn't want him lifting weights. He felt that it was going to stunt his development. And I look at that and I say, wow, that means there's a lot of room to add strength to what is already a big frame. Some say he's still growing. Awesome shot. Started to really apply himself in the second half. Boomer, I go back to our top prospects game and threw a couple hits in that game, scored a big league goal to the top shelf. And at that point, it was like a springboard for him. For whatever reason, it just seemed to click that he needed to play with a little more bite, more physicality, starting to shoot the puck more as he watched his acquired line mate in Brendan Lemieux do that. And he felt that, well, if Brendan's going to shoot it every time I give him the puck, maybe the odd time that I get it back, I'm going to start firing the puck. So there's so much to like about his game and the fact that I kind of like it that he hasn't lifted weights much at all. And I think that's going to be a huge asset for him down the road just because of the ability to add so much strength to that huge frame.
Sammy, isn't the only question mark with this guy, at least the people that I've talked to, is, and I don't even like the word anymore, compete and the consistency in that regard. I mean, his father, Jeff, was one whale of an NHL defenseman, primarily in St. Louis. Exceptional puck mover, and you've dealt with him as a coach in Ottawa the last couple of years as well, which, again, I think is a real, you know, check mark in Logan Brown's, you know, potential future. Just when you grow up around the game, it's got to be really helpful. But that's the only, that for me, even at 9 and 10, that's probably why I just went Jost ahead of Brown.
Yep.
From some of the people that I talked to. And yet, I want to make the point now as we're about to round out the top 10. If the Calgary Flames picked Logan Brown at 6, that won't surprise me either.
Well, not based on all the talk you hear about size.
Yes.
But he doesn't play a heavy game.
Like, no, he doesn't.
Let's just understand and get that out of the way. He was more assertive in that regard. I know Dan Cole held him in high regards when he chose to play for the U.S. at the under-18s. He couldn't say enough good things about him, but the consistency, I would definitely say that was an issue in the first half. I saw a much more consistent player in the second half, beginning at the prospects game. And that's probably what looks like a year that started top 15 that dropped out of maybe even the first round to now who, you know, a guy I believe is going to be top 10.
There you have it. The top 10 is done in our mock draft. Logan Brown to Colorado at 10, Tyson Jost, a Hab at number 9, the Buffalo Sabres selecting Ole Ualevi. Sergachev to Arizona at 7. Flames taking Alex Nylander, Matthew Tkachuk to Vancouver at 5. The Oilers selecting Pierre-Luc Dubois. Jesse Puljujarvi at Columbus's 3rd pick. Lion A at number 2. And Austin Matthews to the Leafs at number 1. We'll break and come back with picks 11 through 20. The New Jersey Devils are next. You're listening to our mock draft here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome back to our exclusive coverage. It is the Sportsnet 960 The Fan mock draft. I am Boomer, along with Peter Loubardias and Sam Cosentino, getting set for the big night on Friday. We're walking through picks 1 through 30. We're up to pick number 11. The New Jersey Devils sit in the 11th spot. Peter Loubardias, you have the honors.
I just think with all this young man's skill, if he's still around at 11, diminutive, I guess, size-wise at 5'10 and about 170 pounds, but Clayton Keller would seem to fit a need for a lot of teams. And that's just, I think, you know, even Johnny Gaudreau has really helped pave the way, you know, for people to take more of a chance higher in a draft at for a player who's 5'10 and 170. But you take a look at the year that Clayton Keller had. He was the MVP of the World Under 18 championship. He had 14 points. This guy can make plays. I mean, it didn't take me very long to watch him in Grand Forks to understand that this guy is a big time, dynamic, creative, offensive hockey player, always has been, you know, had 100 plus points in 62 games with the United States development team, sees the ice brilliantly, was way too good against my favorite country in the bronze medal game where he had 3 assists, and we won't talk about that game anymore. 10-3, never need to see it again. But Clayton Keller, I just think the skill set for New Jersey, who's, you know, I thought they made great strides last year, and I think this guy would be a nice fit.
Yeah, Keller's one of those guys that kind of Doug Gilmore-like in his approach to the game, where he's a smaller guy who has really good skill but plays with a lot of bite, a lot of energy, not afraid to get involved on the physical side of things, not afraid to, you know, get whacked either, but a guy who's will go to the dirty areas on the ice. And the one thing that I get out of all the scouts that I talk to is just the compete level and how consistent it is. Night in and night out, he's giving you a max effort, and that's not to mention the skill set that might be, you know, a top six skill set, giving what he has to offer.
Pick number 12 belongs to the Ottawa Senators. I'm noticing a certain name falling. Is it his time? We find out with Sam Cosentino.
Yes, and the Ottawa Senators with the 12th pick take Jacob Chychrun.
There he is.
I think there's some ties there. I mean, his dad coaches there in Ottawa. The family has a cottage there. He works out there in the off season, so it does have some ties there between Ottawa and Chychrun. But I think there's a drop off point, and we've hit it. I think you're looking at a guy who just has so much in the toolbox, even though it's been ripped apart here for the last couple of months, that I can't let him slide any further. There are two issues when it comes to his game. First of all, his ability to process the game at a high speed. And second of all, what's he going to be at the next level? Scouts are trying to figure it out. Personally, he's trying to figure it out, and they haven't come to that conclusion yet. You're looking at a young player who really has faced little adversity coming up through his minor hockey career. The guy was the first overall selection of Sarnia in the Ontario Hockey League draft and really suffered that shoulder injury that really hasn't allowed him to get on the right track to this point. But he's got a little bit of the Darnell Nurse thing in him, and I think it's finding out and playing defense first, worrying about the offense a little bit later down the road in his game. I think that's where there's going to be a pretty serious conversation between the NHL team that drafts him. In this mock draft case, it's the Ottawa Senators, to say, here's what we want you to be. Here's what we think you will be down the road. But let's work towards the end of worrying about using that skating ability, that size, to play solid defense, to play a simple game. And then let's worry about the offense a little later. So I think this is to the point now where I can't let Chychrun go any further.
And in watching him, even at the World Under 18, my guess is decision making is a bit of an issue. Is he going to be a top pairing guy at the next level or a second pairing guy at the next level?
Yeah, those are the concerns moving forward. There's no doubt about that. But again, you know, you're looking at an extremely mature young man. You're looking at a pro style body. You're looking at NHL bloodlines. You're looking at an excellent skater. There's a lot to like about this package, but unfortunately, he just seems to be the guy this year that's dropped so much that all we ever hear about is the negative. But there's a lot to like here.
I heard he put way too much pressure on himself all season.
Yeah, that's another thing. He was just really hard on himself and wanted to produce, and, you know, admittedly said it wasn't the type of season that he expected to have. And most of that, he felt, lied in the fact that he didn't have the chance to work out like he normally does last off season. So I think moving forward into this year, that excuse doesn't exist for him, or that reasoning doesn't exist for him. And we'll see what he's able to bring to the table in Sarnia this year.
To 13 we go. It's the Carolina Hurricanes. They added Tara Vinen by way of a draft or a trade with the Chicago Blackhawks. Where are they going, Peter, at 13?
Well, Boom, last year, you know, with Hanifin and Pesci and Slavin, this is a team, and Justin Falk, all of a sudden, you know, this is a young, developing defensive core with a lot of promise. I think the one area they really need to shore up, a little like, you know, the team we watch every day in Calgary, is they need, you know, some more potential top six forwards. And in this case, I'm going to go with the son of former Minnesota North Star Brian Bellows and his youngster Kiefer Bellows, who had 50 goals for the United States National Development Team this year. He had five more goals at the Under 18 Championship. He's a really prototypical, you know, up and down north south winger. And the one thing that I noticed when I watched him this spring in Grand Forks was that, my goodness, does the puck get off his stick in a hurry? Like, he can, I guarantee you, Sammy, if guys you talk to him about, shot had to come up like really, really quickly. Like, he can, yeah,
maybe
score.
One of the best in this draft. Yeah. I mean, you're going to obviously talk about Laine when it comes to that department, but yeah, no question about it. And he's got a selfishness to his game, that selfishness that you like as a team, that you're probably never going to hear, we want you to shoot more, when it comes to Kiefer Bellows. And I think that's a good thing.
All out skill, right? Which is, it seems like when we think of all out skill, like you say, it's Laine, or it seems like it's become a European thing, even with Nylander. But he is a shoot first, give me the puck, because I want to score 50 goals last year for the U18.
Yeah, and that's him in a nutshell. And I liked his game there. He was impactful. And, you know, coming from another father who played and being around the game his whole life, you have to believe that the IQ is on the right side of the ledger there, too.
Plays a heavier game than you would have expected if you watched his father. And I think the 101 PIMS will indicate that. But when you look, he's got a thick frame to him. So he can play that physical style of game if you need him to, you know, to be that power forward type. But you definitely want that guy in a position to shoot the puck.
The Boston Bruins go at pick number 14. It's been an interesting, you think of last year's draft, and in many ways the Boston Bruins were the talk of that draft. Trading away Dougie Hamilton, they had all those draft picks, Lucic gone, they had Martin Jones for a couple of minutes. Now, as it sits, they've got pick 14. Sam, where are they going?
Charles McAvoy out of Boston University. It's a guy that they should have great intel on, being the hometown team. A guy that most people feel is just scratching the surface. It's funny, when you watch him at the combine, he kind of had a bit of a round face. And I think that indicated to some people that he was out of shape. I think his tests came back actually better than what you would have expected by simply looking at him. But by all accounts, he's a guy who's just starting to figure out what it's like to be a pro. Looking at his numbers as a freshman, playing in that you know, in the NCAA in a tough conference, it's tough to see a guy who put up 25 points, you know, get turned down. Again, a freshman playing against men all the time, power play opportunities for him. I really like this player, and I think the Boston Bruins are going to go there.
Yeah, he was pretty good at the World Junior, I thought, even though not overly productive, did not register a point. Like the way he skates, he can shoot it. Reminds me a little bit of Justin Falk, actually. We just talked about him. And again, a right-handed shot, too, in McAvoy, which we know that in hockey circles that, you know, those gentlemen can very much be coveted. You know, needless to say, will Boston go there? Everybody always wants to tie somebody to an area because that's where they play, and we know that they're seen a lot. That doesn't always mean that the team's going to go that way, but obviously you think, my friend, in this case, that they will.
Yeah, just being around the corner. It allows your, what it does allow when you're in proximity like that is your general manager to get all those extra viewings. Whereas, you know, the general manager will make a point on just about every team to get out and see the top 30 to 50 guys and find a way to fit them in. But you're not getting those mass viewings. But when you have proximity to help you out, now a general manager on an off day when your team's not traveling can go over and watch practice, can get involved with what the coaching staff thinks about this player. can go and watch him play all his home games. So there is a benefit there, I believe.
15 overall takes us halfway through the first round. Peter Labardius, that's the Minnesota Wild.
Well, Minnesota's in a bit of a transition right now in the sense of where they're at as a group. You know, this year was an okay year for them. I think I probably expected a little bit more going into the start of the season, and I think they're going to be torn as a staff. In our draft, Kiefer Bellows is already gone. He's a Minnesotan who I'm guessing if he was available Friday night at this spot, they would very much think about taking him. I think they're going to have a tough time not selecting even Riley Tufte, who is the Mr. Hockey in Minnesota this year, who played primarily in high school, had some time in the USHL. There's going to be pressure there, but I think they're actually going to go with a guy we're very familiar with in Calgary, and that's Jake Bean. I just think his ability to move pucks, the way Jake sees the game, there's still lots of room to grow into that frame. Listen, gents, Jake Bean in the Western Hockey League as a defenseman scored 24 goals. That is not easy to do at that age. This is a guy who wasn't even drafted in the Western Hockey League. He's a really cerebral player. Of course, his dad, and I mean this when I say this, his dad, John, who's, you know, COO of the Flames entire organization. You know, when you say certain guys walk into a room and they think they're the smartest guy in the room, when John Bean walks in a room, he is the smartest guy in the room.
Well, if he were to walk in this room, that's easy.
Well, that's that's by a landslide. Not even Trump could mess. Oh yeah, he probably could. But I think his skill level and his release, his ability to shoot the puck and release it, wrist shot, snap shot.
Just to get it through. Yeah.
And he gets all kinds of pucks through, which is why he had great success and had, you know, he had a lot of it on the power play. I think 14 of those 24 came on the power play, and playing with Travis Sanheim, a first-round pick of Philadelphia, didn't hurt, which he will not have him at his disposal this year in Calgary. But this is a really gifted, offensive, see the game, read the game type player.
Well, he's a smart player, and that's the one thing that sticks out to me. And I think he leaned heavily on what Travis Sanheim went through, because at the start of the year, Jake Bean was a guy that I don't think was on a lot of radar in terms of being a top two round selection. And as the year progressed, the goals kept piling up. I think sitting there and learning from what Travis did in his draft year were very much the same. It wasn't until the under 18s before Travis Sanheim's year where people started to realize that this guy's got great potential, that Bean was of that similar ilk. And once you get to the halfway mark of the year and then into the playoffs and you see all the things that he's done, good skater, has the ability to pack on some weight. He is very slight of frame, so that's something that's going to have to improve here moving forward. But a listed player, you know, a guy who should have been somehow drafted in the Western Hockey League, was playing at the Edge school and it didn't quite work out. By all accounts, his father, John, working for the Calgary organization, had no impact on the hitmen taking him, according to Mike Moore, the general manager there. So he's a wonderful story, and I think the cool thing is he's going to be in a position where he might just very well go ahead of where his deep partner Sanheim went.
Well, and I want to ask you this. If there's one thing that Pittsburgh seemed to show the hockey world, is you've got to be able to skate. This guy's maybe his best trait is his skating ability. Is there a chance, the way you see it, that Jake Bean could go before Jacob Chychrun?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so too. I'd say the top two guys are pretty cemented. Sergachev, Ulevi, those guys are interchangeable. But the scenario does present itself that Bean goes ahead of Jacob Chychrun. That is not unfounded.
Boom, I think in a lot of ways, even when you get past maybe even 4 and 5 in this draft, a lot of it'll boil down to who do you really love as an organization? What do you need? You know, that's why Friday is going to be so interesting, and they always are. But, you know, and then even when we get down to 20 here shortly, from about 20 to 50 in this draft, you want to talk about, you know, not a lot of difference between people. So, yes, you know, the quick answer is yes, he could go before Chychrun.
To 16, they don't have Pavel Datsyuk, but Detroit does have the 16th overall pick, Cosentino.
Michael McLeod of the Mississauga Steelheads, a guy who's plays center ice. He's got good size to him. Just named the captain of that hockey club for the upcoming 16-17 season. A guy who skates well, and maybe his greatest asset is his work ethic. Shift in and shift out. You're getting the max work ethic out of this guy. Unfortunately for Mr. McLeod, I don't think the under-18 performance helped him very much. He was not great there. Definitely not as good and as dynamic as I've seen him playing with the Steelheads. Played on the line with Nathan Bastian and Alex Nylander all year long, so I think he got better playing with those better players. But into his own right, one thing that you can guarantee with this guy is the will and the effort. So at some point he's going to play. How high will he play in your lineup? That is a question that some scouts have.
Me too.
I still think that his hands haven't caught up to his boots, and when they do, you're going to get a heck of a player.
Yeah, the thing I love is exactly the same. Every time I've watched Michael, whether it's in person or on television, you never have to worry about his ability to make the most out of what he has. My question mark, and it became more of a question mark after the under 18, where he had 2 goals and 2 assists for 4 points, he's going to play for 10 or 15 years. That I know. So he's going to play. So you're going to take a player here who's going to play, and I think going to play for a long time, especially with his speed and his motor and his compete and his will. This guy has great will. But is he a third line forward or is he a second line forward? So, you know, when we're in this department and this neighborhood of the draft, I talked to 2 people this week that said, I don't know why people get so caught up. If you know you're going to have a guy at for the next 10 years
who's
going to
play,
I mean, take him wherever you want. And this guy, to me, might fall into that category. But the other side of that equation in a draft is, you know, even at 16, is this elevated for a player that might be a third rounder rather than a second rounder? I think that's what, you know, or a second line center rather than a third line center.
And so what do you balance? You balance the fact that you know he's going to play against how high he's going to play. And I think sometimes everyone gets caught up and worried about hitting the home run, where if you look at the percentage of first-round players playing, it's not 100%. In fact, it's well below that. It's probably in the 70% range. So when you're thinking about getting a guy who's going to play past the midway point in the draft based on that 70 percentile of guys who in the first round play as regulars in the NHL, this will be a good pick here for Detroit.
So Detroit at 16 takes Michael McLeod. Nashville at 17, Lou.
Julian Gauthier of Val-d'Or.
Whoa. Went up the board a little bit there. I like it.
Yeah, he's up the board for me. And as it was written in a publication, and I get why it was, because I might be in the same neighborhood. I just think this is the type of player as Nashville goes forward that they don't have. This guy's a specimen. We know that. 6'3", already 230 pounds, cut out of a stone. My issue is, I like progression. I thought he took a bit of a step back this year. He was just okay at the World Junior, had fewer points this year in the queue than he did the year before when I loved him, when he had 73. But skates really well, can shoot it a ton, can finish. Now, why do scouts have a very, very difficult job, as it was written this week? Is this the next coming of Jamie Benn? Or the next coming of Steve Bernier?
Wow.
And I get where that comes from.
Oh, yeah.
Because Steve Bernier, who was, you know, a first-round pick in San Jose in his time, was a terrific player in Moncton, had huge numbers, had over 100 points in his last year in the Quebec League. That looked like it was going to turn out a lot better than it did. And so I get that comparison.
Yeah, when it comes to Gauthier, he comes from the bodybuilding family, so he trains like a demon. He's a wonderful kid. He's got great character to him. You know, but of the red flags, you'd have to say second-half production, and you'd also have to say being a big part of a team that was upset heavily in the first round, I believe it was, of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League playoffs. And those two things are the red flags that are sticking on Gauthier here of late.
I just think for Nashville and the kind of people that they have up front, might be worth the risk here. Even though I'm putting him here, and I could understand why he could slip by another 5, 6, 10 spots.
I think he has the ability to play a heavy game. He just doesn't do it on a regular basis because he's so much bigger, stronger, and faster than most of the people in his league. So I think that challenge, that's going to be a challenge to get him to do that every night at the pro level, but he has the ability to do that. It's in the toolbox.
Do you know what my take on him is, quickly, and I know we've got to get rolling here a little farther. When you have really good success the year before, you think it's going to be easier the next year.
Yeah.
He doesn't score because he's necessarily a great scorer. He scores because of all the intangibles, the work, the physical presence that he brings. Yeah. And my guess is, and you saw him way more this year than I did, he got away from that. And when it didn't come as easy to him, and he still scored 41, you know, in the regular season, my guess is that's where some of the, you know, tough part of this year came to play for
him. I would say that's a valid factor for sure. So, you know, again, moving forward, is he, you know, is this a little bit high in my league? Yeah, sure. But I think you have, like you say, the potential to get a Jamie Benn here.
So, Sammy, you are picking for Philadelphia right now. That would signal to me that somebody's fallen in your lap, maybe. Who do you have at 18?
Well, it's funny because Dante Fabro would be the next guy on my list, but I think I've addressed that position quite well as a Philadelphia Flyers with a lot of young guys coming up in that regard. Sanheim and Philip Myers come to the top of mind right away. I know I have Samuel Moran. I've got Provorov in the waiting. So I'm not really worried about that position with young players. So I'm going to actually bypass my list here where Fabro would be the next guy. And I'm going to go to Max Jones because I really think he fits what Philadelphia is all about. Playing an entertaining game, a high-speed game, a heavy game, a belligerent game. He does all of those things. He's got unbelievable speed. He's got hands that I think have been underrated by most scouts because he does have some ability to finish there. Check him on YouTube. In back-to-back games, scoring overtime winners. Once against Jacob Chychrun in a one-on-one situation. But he's got good reach. Again, you got talking about NHL bloodlines. Those things all work in his favor. I think there's a couple of bad habits that he probably picked up in London that he needs to eradicate from his game, but that shouldn't be much of an issue to try and do that.
What are your thoughts, Lou?
On this particular player, I'm not a big fan in terms of consistency, and yet at the high end, this might be low. When he's at his best, as I thought he was in two of the four games that I saw him at the Memorial Cup, against Brandon. Now, granted, they won the game 9-1, but even in the final, I thought he was a really, really good player. And at 6'3", he skates very well. Yeah. He has every tool you would want in a power forward. I've been told by scouts that, you know, finishing doesn't come real easy, and I saw a little of that even at the Memorial Cup. But this is a really big package. The issue for me in four viewings in short order, two games I loved him, two games he wasn't that easy to find. And I wouldn't be surprised, and the people I've talked to, inconsistency, again, is probably why this guy's not in the top 10 as opposed to even where we have him or where he might go on Friday.
Well, I think the one thing that I'll say about that, especially in the late viewings, is that he was suspended up until game 3 of the OHL championship. They won in four games, so he got to play in two games there. Then they have 7 or 8 day layoff before they go to the cup. And now you're asking a guy to jump to Memorial Cup level after he's been out for 12 games previous to that, so about a month and a bit. I played two games and then asked him to sit for another 10 days, so I think there is a little bit of that in there. But I also think that when it comes to the finish, which is one thing that's been really questioned in this game, it's not that he doesn't shoot the puck or release it or shoot it really hard. The accuracy is a bit of an issue there. So he's probably going to be a guy who's going to have to get all of his tough goals in front of the net, but he's got pretty good hand-eye. When it comes to rebounds, tips, deflections, I think he can be proficient in those areas.
And he can beat you off the rush, too.
Oh, no, he's fast enough to do that. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Yeah, which,
as long as he hits the net coming off the rush.
Right.
Or if he's going to take it to the net, which is probably the better option for him.
Well, I had him right there going to that team on my list. So I get where you're coming from. I'd have gone in the same direction having that pick myself.
Well, you do have the Islanders pick next at 19.
And now I'm going with Fabro. you know, Johnny Boychuk, who I absolutely love, is getting, you know, up there a little bit at 32 years of age. This is a right-handed shooting defenseman. I've watched him, in all sincerity, since he was a first-year bantam at the Burnaby Winter Club, helping that team win the Western Canadian Championship. He's really smart, sees the game, think that he plays the game with great poise, even though he's just at 6 feet and about 195 pounds. Excellent at the under 18. He was one of Canada's top three players, voted that way, had 8 assists. I really trusted him in that tournament. And for me, when you're trying to defend high, high level people as he was in that event, I trusted him more on that defense than anybody in that group, including Jacob Chychrun. So does he have the kind of overall toolbox that Chychrun has? No, not physically skilled wise, but the way he reads the game, how poised he is with a puck, he can still, you know, make things happen. He was the top defenseman in the British Columbia Hockey League this year. He had 67 points in 45 games. So I think this would be a great fit for the Islanders going forward.
Yeah, I heard some really good things about him while at the under-18s, and a guy who accepted a leadership role, or actually just put it upon himself to make sure that guys were, you know, on point, the receiving and executing what the coaches were trying to sell. And for that reason alone, knowing that he's got that kind of compete and that bite to him in terms of leadership, I really like that about Favreau. But I also agree with all the things you've said. Has the ability to either skate the puck out or make a good first pass in removing the puck from his own zone. Really good in retrievals and competes better than I think he gets credit for.
The New York Rangers had pick number 20, but they acquired Keith Yandle from the Coyotes. Part of that package was this pick, so the Coyotes with their second in the top 20, Sammy.
Luke Cunnan out of the University of Wisconsin, a guy that I heard a lot of good things about. In fact, might be a little bit low here. Slightly smallish at just under 6 feet. 32 points in 34 games playing at Wisconsin, which is a pretty tough league, the Big Ten. So a guy who I think fits in nice and comfortably into this spot.
Yeah, and I don't disagree. I've heard great things. A matter of fact, a couple of people I talked to in the last few days that have seen him love how he plays the game. They love that he had a great year in a program that ended up changing coaches at Wisconsin this year. They had a really difficult season in the Big Ten. And in terms of his ability to get around the ice, this is one of the fastest players from all accounts in the entire draft.
Yeah, I think the straight line game and the compete has really impressed people, and Cunnan's my pick here.
Pick 20, Luke Cunnan to the Arizona Coyotes. The Islanders, Dante Favreau at 19. The Flyers at 18, Max Jones. Julian Gauthier to Nashville at 17. Michael McLeod is a Red Wing at 16. Minnesota selecting defenseman Jake Bean of the Calgary Hitmen. Charles McAvoy to the Bruins at 14. Kiefer Bellows, 13. To Carolina. Ottawa selects Jacob Chychrun and Clayton Keller, the New Jersey Devil, at number 11. Our final break, we come back with picks 21 through 30 and our final thoughts. Coming up, it is the mock draft with Sam Cosentino and Peter Labardius here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome back. Our exclusive coverage, it's the Sportsnet 960 mock draft. I am Boomer, your host, along with Peter Labardius and Sam Cosentino. We are through 20 picks as we're navigating our way through round number one in advance of the actual round one in Buffalo coming up on Friday night. Pick 21 was a LA King pick. You think back, boy, you look now and you realize how these trades affect the team. The LA Kings get Andre Sequeira from Carolina. He gets injured almost immediately, and it doesn't impact their playoff run. Carolina says, thank you for the first round pick, and Lou, they pick at 21.
And in our mock draft, we already have them taking Kiefer Bellows. I think they're going to stay in the forward rank, and they are going to take a chance on Mr. High School Minnesota, Riley Tufte, 6'5", 212 pounds, excellent skater, had some success. Now, an interesting story. Started his year in the USHL in Fargo, then left, went back to high school, and then when his high school season was over in Minnesota, went back to Fargo. A little bit of question for me in regards to why he didn't stick it out at that level rather than going back to truly dominated high school, which probably came easy. If Carolina hadn't already made a selection here, this would be a tougher choice, but at 6'5", skates the way he does, a chance to add to your top six forward-wise, heard some really good things about, you know, potential upside. He's going to try out for the United States at their upcoming World Junior Camp in August in Plymouth, Michigan. So I'm guessing, and there's lots of ways for Carolina to go here, it'll be a forward, and they might take a shot on this young man.
It's a great point you make, because I do think he does fit well with a team that has multiple picks, because he's a little bit more risk-taking and his ability to properly gauge what he was able to do this year playing in high school. And it's funny, I talked to him at the combine, and he simply said, I just wanted to go back and play with my buddies. For me and for some teams, that raises a red flag. But having said that, the Minnesota high school hockey thing is very cult-like. I mean, you know, they're doing a big piece on the hair every year. They got, you know, they're talking about the hockey hair and this and that. And, you know, you look at Nick Bjugstad, you look at Ryan McDonough, two guys that were pretty tied to their high school programs. And I think he falls in that ilk. For me personally, that is a bit of a red flag. You know, I want a hockey player. I don't want a guy who wants to hang out with his buddies. But on the flip side of that, how often do we say a lot of these kids miss the opportunity to be kids? And good on him for taking the opportunity to be a kid.
We forget that, don't we? Right?
We do.
You look at this and, you know, the kid wants to play hockey but also isn't maybe mature enough or isn't ready. And does that mean he won't be at 18, 19, or 20? It's so hard to tell. I'm glad it's not my job to and sift through this stuff, because you'd sit down in a meeting and some kids would wow you and you'd take them higher than you should, and then other kids would come off. I mean, look no further than Sean Monahan. I mean, he's a wet noodle in an interview, and I mean, what a competitor. So we'll see if that's what happens with Riley Tufte, our pick at 21. The Winnipeg Jets, they traded Andrew Ladd to Chicago, and in return, in a package, got this pick, Sam Cosentino.
Logan Stanley, big defenseman out of the Windsor Spitfires program, was just scratching the surface offensively. Defends well with body positioning and reach. Is a little rambunctious at times, trying to skate pucks out. But his boots are good enough, and I think they'll improve. I'm looking at probably the most improved player in the Ontario Hockey League last year, maybe in the Canadian Hockey League. I hope that he's a guy who continues on that same sort of curve moving forward this year, with Windsor as the MasterCard Memorial Cup hosts. He's a guy who really is just starting to adjust to his body. He hasn't stopped growing until just a few months ago. So I look at a lacrosse background. The hands are good. He's got an ankle-breaking shot. A lot to like in Logan Stanley.
And he's nasty.
He is no fun to play against.
And in terms of progression, in a very short window of time, when I watched Canada at the World Under 18, from start to finish, I thought he was Canada's most improved player. Now, that's a window of 5-6 games, but
still says a lot about his ability to improve.
And jump his game
up to a new level. Yeah.
Yes, against really good competition.
So they already have Tyler Myers. If Winnipeg were to add Logan Stanley, how big is this guy?
He's 6'7".
6'7", 224 right now, which seems kind of thin because he's a thick body guy. He reminds me a lot of Jamie Oleksiak in terms of his, you know, his thick features.
And he's left-handed, so they could be a pairing, Boom. Myers on the right side and this guy on the left side.
Yeah, have fun.
Yep.
Pack a lunch. Lou.
Two of them.
The Florida Panthers, they've completely overhauled their team. They had one of their best seasons in a long time, and then scouts and GMs, and I mean, they just fired their trainer of all things. Where do the Panthers go at 23?
Well, and anyway, that's another story for another day. We'll see how that works out. Some good people were let go, as far as I'm concerned, in that cleaning, but that's how life works. Now, not just because his brother Quentin is already part of the Florida Panthers, but I think Brett Howden is going to be one of those players that people are going to wonder, you know, and this might be high for some people at 21 for him, not for me. He was Moose Jaw's best player in round one of the playoffs, had 15 points in 10 games. This guy oozes leadership. Oozes leadership. He had huge progression this year, which I love to see in any player, from a 16-year-old year to a 17-year-old year. In August, last August, he was the captain of Canada's Ivan Hlinka team, which will tell you a lot, because that's the one tournament where we have all our best kids, and they put a C on him immediately. He joined the under-18 team in Grand Forks late after Moose Jaw was finally done in round two against Brandon. He was there in 5 hours to play a game that night and scored two goals. There's a lot to like about this player. Now, he's another guy in the first round that some might say, at the highest level, is he going to be a second-line guy or a third-line guy? But again, There's no doubt in my mind this guy plays. He knows what he is. He's not as fast as Quinton. And if you know anything about this family from Manitoba, these aren't good people. If you don't like the Howdens, you don't like humans. So he comes from, this guy comes from about as good a stock as you could find.
Yeah, when you're betting on people and you get to this point in the draft, because I think there is that drop off at around 22. But yeah, you're betting on people and you're getting one of the best people here. Guy who shoots the puck. I think the thing that's going to help him here is his most recent viewings at the under 18, where he performed really well. And again, just kind of being flown in as soon as Moose Jaw had lost. I think those viewings are going to help him out.
Good people. And if you don't like the Howdens, Lou?
No, you don't like humans.
You don't like humans.
Yeah, that won't make it on another show for sure.
To 24 we go. It's the Anaheim Ducks, Sam.
Oh, boy. Well, you really got to put on your thinking cap here. But I think I'm going to go with Tage Thompson here. And I know people are worried that he scored 14 goals, 13 were on the power play. It was a young building program at the University of Connecticut. Played with Max Letunov, who just got dealt, I think, from St. Louis to San Jose, if I'm not mistaken. So they made up basically the top two players. But experienced a huge growth spurt here this year. So you have to like his size. There's no question he needs to pack pounds onto that body. He does play a straight line game. He's not overly physical, but he's skilled enough to be picked in this spot, in my eyes. The son of Brent Thompson is the head coach of the Bridgeport Sound Tigers of the New York Islanders, who has some pro pedigree to his game as well. So Tage Thompson is a guy that I'm going to take here.
Yeah, he just makes me feel old, Boom, because the first NHL draft I ever attended and covered was 1989 in Bloomington, Minnesota. Mm-hmm, yeah. And Brent went in the second round of the Los Angeles Kings, the former Medicine Hat Tiger.
This kid's bigger than his dad.
Yeah, he is. And a different position. His dad was a left-handed shooting defenseman who played 120 games in the league in three different places.
25 overall, the Dallas Stars, Lou. What could have been if they could have gotten another couple wins and made a, made a cup final or a West, whatever it was, would have been a Flames pick. It isn't. It's the Stars pick. Who do they take at 25?
I'm going to lean a little bit on a smallish forward named Alex DeBrincat out of the Erie Otters. I know in his first huge year, he was on the same team as Connor McDavid, and he scored more than 50. Well, in this day and age, when you score 50 goals in two consecutive seasons, and you do it, in his case, in his 17-year-old year and his 18-year-old year, this guy can flat out score. He finds quiet areas. He's not very big at about, 5'8", and that might be pushing it a little bit. But Sam, and again, here's a guy that you've seen a ton, not a little bit, a ton the last 2 years.
Here's what I like about him. Of his 102 goals in those 128 regular season games, just 34 of them were on the power play. So that tells me a lot about his ability to score and even strengthen empty net situations. I also like the fact that in year one, he played with Connor McDavid. So you have to learn to play a pace game. And then in year two, he plays with Dylan Strome, who plays more of a finesse game. Yet the numbers are the exact same. And the size thing is going to absolutely kill this guy. That's the one thing. And yeah, you can look at Gaudreau and you can look at Grimaldi and these guys, but the size is really going to kill DeBrincat because he doesn't have the type of speed that those other two possess. And that's where there's going to be some issues for him. So he is going to be on the fringes of the first round. I have him right at the very end of my first round. And again, it's with Anaheim. It's a team with multiple picks. But in the case of liking the smarts, knowing where to go on the ice, being aware of who you're playing with, not ever backing down, and really coming out of nowhere as a free agent signing with the Erie Otters, I think you're going to find a player who's really driven to take the step to the next level.
You mentioned the size. What are we talking about?
Oh, we're not talking about a very big person. 5'7", 5'8".
5'7". His latest central scouting was 5'7", 165. He's one of those kids that you look at and you say, I don't know if he's going to get much bigger than that. And that's what would worry me. Paul Byron type size.
Right.
Yeah.
The Washington Capitals select number 26. Sammy, that's you.
Rubsov. German Rubsov is a guy who at the under 18s didn't get the opportunity to play because of the meldonium issue surrounding all of Russia's under 18 team. So you would have really had to do your due diligence on this guy. I think that hurts him when it comes to this draft. But I also think you're looking at a guy who has top 15 talent. He has the ability to play both ends of the ice. They're, you know, a guy that you would lean on to play in high leverage situations. And being a top 15 skill set at 25, that's a steal for me, and that's why I take him here.
And would make sense for Washington, right? Given
or 26.
Given
their history. Exactly, given their history with Russian players.
Tampa Bay, Stevie Y goes to the podium at 27, Lou.
27, I am going to go with a young man who played in Chilliwack this year, and Dennis Chalowski. Self-admittedly, did not see very much of this gentleman, so called on my contacts, and the two people that I spoke to him about were very impressed. He had kind of a meteoric rise to the season. He had a really good World Junior A Challenge, which is the only time I had a chance to see him once on television. Was certainly noticeable there. An excellent skater at about 6'1". And the word that the two gentlemen I talked to about him in hockey was poise. They love his poise. There's no panic. He's an excellent first passer, a very mobile defenseman. And when I think about Tampa and where they're trying to get to, and maybe, you know, where they could add to this group with, you know, some players like Garrison getting a little bit older and some of their key guys on the back. And in this day and age, gents, I don't know about you, but the more I watch the NHL, and I'm lucky enough to watch it all the time, there's a premium on good puck-moving mobile people who read the game and feel the game. And what I keep hearing about this guy is he does that very, very well.
He does that. And I think some people are worried a little bit about the BCHL thing. Yes, he performed well at the World Junior A Challenge. There's no doubt about that. And as that was kind of the springboard for him. But many people feel he's still raw. And when I look at some of Tampa's recent picks, the guy that comes to mind would be Slater Cuckoo, who they took aggressively, I believe, at 11th, going back 4 or 5 years ago. He's just starting to make his way into the National Hockey League now because it took a while for him to find his identity. I think Chalowski knows his identity, and so he's a step ahead of Slater Cuckoo in that ilk. And I also think Tampa Bay is they identify guys and they take them, whether it's Slater Cuckoo, whether it's you know, Jonathan Drouin, and yes, I know it was the third pick, but there were some questionable things about Drouin when he was selected. You look at Anthony D'Angelo was a guy who had some questionable character issues, and Tampa had no problem taking him there. I like the fact that they identify their guys, and they stick with them, and they take them, and I think they identify Chalowski here as well.
St. Louis, they, again, depending on what happens between now and the draft in July 1st, maybe Shattenkirk leaves, maybe David Backes is gone. Who do they take, Sammy, at 28?
I think they like the Robbie Fabry project, how that's worked out well for him, and a guy who I find very similar in stature, in effort, and in skill is Vitaly Abramov out of the Gatineau Olympics. Now, he's a guy that's been talked about at the end of the first round by just about every prognosticator. 93 points this year in his rookie year. Went through a bit of a dip, you know, the homesick thing kind of caught up to him a little bit. But, you know, I like what he brings to the table. I thought he was good at the prospects game. I thought it was great for Benoit Grue, who's, can be a tough coach to play for throughout the course of the regular season. But I look at how things played out for St. Louis with Fabry. You know, Western Conference can't take a guy that small. This and that were all the knocks against him. And Fabry is a dynamite player, and I think Abramov is of similar stature and similar ilk.
93 points this year.
That's 63, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
Another one of the teams with two first-round picks. Sammy has Boston taking Charles McAvoy at 14. Lou, who do you have the Bruins taking? Now, this was a San Jose pick. In the Lucic trade, it becomes a Boston pick.
Well, Wade Allison is a guy who played in the United States Hockey League. Apparently an unbelievable edge as far as his personality is concerned. He put up some good numbers. He's got really good size and, you know, somebody that I understand that Boston has, you know, made a point of going out and, you know, taking a few extra peeks at along the year. And again, maybe a little bit riskier than some others, but as Sammy pointed out earlier, when you have multiple picks, especially if you really feel good about the first one, maybe you can take a little bit more of a chance on this type of player at 29.
6-1, 205, 6-1 and a half, 205. Very much a raw talent, but a guy who I think is driven from small town Manitoba to make his way to the next level. And it's pretty interesting that, when you look at Allison, he's ranked much further down on most lists. But again, I think that's going to be an interesting pick here. And Boston, as we experienced last year, again, they identify players taking Zach Sinishin as early as they did. I don't think anyone saw that coming. I like the fact that they stick with their guns.
Yeah, and here's a guy, and again, I know I'm a little biased, but I would have loved to have seen him play in Brandon, or in the Western Hockey League, as opposed to where he went, as far as, getting an opportunity to see him in that schedule against that kind of competition.
We wrap it at 30, a pick that belonged to, now I got to get this right, Pittsburgh, then to Toronto, and then to Anaheim.
Yep.
Thank you, Frederick Anderson.
Yeah. It's kind of neat when you have the option. When you're a team that has two first-round selections, the options are plenty for you. They double down at the same position, address two different positional needs, maybe get a goalie, be more risk-taking, use it as a trade piece as Toronto did. But when it comes to Anaheim here, I'm looking at a guy like Libor Hájek out of the Saskatoon Blades, a team that was not particularly strong this year. He put up decent numbers. I don't think you can look at the numbers as a gauge. Good skater, good competitor, a guy who was anxious to come over and ply his trade here in North America. So I have no risks, no fears at all about him going back to play at home. And Hájek is a guy who fits very, very nicely here at the bottom of the first round.
So look at that. Just like that, we are done. Picks 1 through 30. And I think the one thing, based on the picks that you guys made, and you said it at the outset, and I think we can only echo it now that we've done this little exercise, once you reach a certain point of this draft, it's going to be nearly unpredictable to predict, because teams will have different needs, they'll have different number of viewings, and like you say, teams with multiple picks, they'll go off the board a little bit. I expect some trades will involve picks, but based on this here, a player could go at 25 or 45, and you shouldn't be stunned.
Well, I would say that. I would say definitely. For me, the drop-off is at about 22, Boomer.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see a couple of things start to go haywire at that position. But I agree. And what's interesting is a lot of teams also have multiple second-round picks. And so, don't turn the TV off on day two, because there's still a lot of action to be had.
Or the radio off, for that matter.
That's right.
Yes.
No question, the radio.
And yeah. I know between you two, you'll be all over our coverage. Lou, you're part of what we're doing at the draft. And Sam, we never go too far without bringing you on board. So
yeah, I hope to be part of it, guys. As much as I can chip in there, especially on day two.
Men, we appreciate it. It's let's do it again in about 365. All right.
Well, I'm all good with that.
There you go. There you have the 2016 mock draft. Sam and Lubo with their picks. How do they compare to yours? Well, take a listen and find out. The draft begins Friday night. This has been your exclusive Sportsnet 960 The Fan mock draft. I'm Boomer. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.